Welcome back to hour number two of the Bible study. I'm Chuck Rathard. Thank you for joining us and staying with us. If you were with us during the first hour there, our conversation with Pastor David Marth. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or a comment here on our open phone, Ask the Pastor program. Let's say good morning and welcome to Pastor Richard Moore, formerly of North County here in our area, but now he is pastor at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, in spite of what they say.
What's the temperature in Winona, Minnesota?
Oh, Winona today is a balmy 18.
Oh, that's warm.
It actually is warm compared to the last week.
Even I could almost. What was it last week?
Last week we had negative 15 a couple of days.
Yeah, I know in International Falls were like 40 below or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo!
Though they had a woman on the radio from International Falls, and they were asking her about what 40 below feels like, and she said, you know, once you get past 20 below, it really doesn't matter.
That's because you're frozen stiff.
Right? Yeah, you know, she goes, whether you freeze in 3 seconds or four really doesn't make a big difference in your life. I thought that was a good answer.
I thought to myself, I want to raise a subject here that is difficult to raise, and if our listeners have small children listening, you might want to distract them with something else. I suppose we could just skip merrily into Valentine's Day and hearts and flowers and all hugs and kisses and all that kind of thing, and be done with it. But I don't know. I feel a sense.
That just doesn't sound like us, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're just the guy to be able to deal with this, because you can deal with it with sensitivity and you can deal with it with dignity. But I need to ask you this question. And I'm going to begin by asking you, you have two daughters.
Yes, I do.
Does it matter to you as their father whether or not they are promiscuous?
Yes, it does.
It does matter.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And since you would say that it does matter, then that means you're going to weigh in on this subject. What have you taught and are you teaching? They're like, late teens, early 20s?
Yeah, one is 17 and one is 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean they've arrived yet. As a matter of fact, it means that apparently from the perspective of our ever-declining culture that they are absolutely right in the middle of what would be a great time for as much promiscuous activity as possible.
You betcha.
So, as their father, what have you taught them in order to convince them that the messages they're getting from the world are wrong?
Well, what I've taught them is, well, you know, there's lots of ways to look at this, but what I've taught them, first of all, is that if some guy is telling me, if you love me, you will do this, the response should be, if you loved me, you wouldn't ask. There is, in God's word, the idea of a sexual relationship is to occur between husband and wife. It is the giving of yourself in a way that you should give yourself to no one else. I heard a speaker not long ago who suggested that kissing a woman before you're married to her or making love to a woman before you're married to her is actually making love to someone else's wife if she doesn't end up being yours. And he's right. There is a sense in which we are, you know, as a society, saying, you know, if it feels good, do it, and if everybody else is doing it, I should be able to too. That is not what the Lord is suggesting. And you save yourself untold pain and sorrow if you do not involve yourself in promiscuity, not to mention the diseases and all of the other things. Psychologically, you are binding yourself and spiritually binding yourself to this person who has no intention of being bound to you.
Well, you said all the right things, but your voice is like a tiny little squeaky voice to be measured against.
I don't think anyone has ever said that to me before about my voice. Anyway.
Well, let's compare. Let's compare your voice with the voice the booming voice of what some people say and was apparently affirmed in the past Super Bowl, I heard it over and over and over again, is the greatest city in America, maybe the greatest city in the world. That's New York City. But before I go there, I'm going to take a telephone call here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Herman. You're on the Bible study.
Thank you for taking my call on the subject. I think what we're looking at is that the sexual revolution has become institutionalized in this society, and you can attack it on two tracks. One, the scripture and the Sixth Commandment, and also the devastation of social damage, the tens of millions of abortion deaths, millions upon millions of sexually transmitted disease cases, the brokenheartedness of the failure of bonding and massive divorce, and the damage that's caused in innumerable ways to children and other people's lives. I think we need to marshal our voice and speak out on this. It's nothing but a continual string of damage and destruction that it's wreaked upon this society.
Boy, Herman, what a pessimist you are.
Well, I'm afraid if you look at reality, that's what you're going to see right now with acts like you described in public going on in New York City and other places in this season.
Thank you, Herman.
Thank you.
Well, now, Herman has listed what we might refer to as a litany of pieces of evidence that suggest that the sexual revolution or free love, as we used to call it back in the 60s and the 70s, or the liberated whatever, Sex in the City and all of those things that go with it, is not such a good way to go.
It's not.
But apparently, we're wrong.
No, we're not wrong.
Well, let me...
The fact that one is right doesn't necessarily mean that people understand it. You know, there's an awful lot of people who drive through McDonald's every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that high-fat burgers are the best thing you should eat.
No, it doesn't.
It means it satisfies a carnal urge. It means that
now, wait a minute here. Yeah, you're starting to meddle.
I know. It means that it...
I just went through McDonald's yesterday.
Well, see, what can I tell you?
Yeah, I know.
But it's the same with the sexual revolution. The whole idea that sexuality is merely something one does to have a good time, that your human sexuality has nothing to do with your spirituality or who you are as a person, is what's being sold. But that doesn't mean we need to buy it.
Did you happen to I just thought this was the most wonderful snapshot of American culture as it exists today. Did you happen to see any of the testimony between Roger Clemens or Mr. McNamee yesterday?
I heard a little bit of it over the radio. I didn't see
I had
see
the opportunity to watch some of that. And hear what we have. Now, I don't intend to get into a discussion about steroids or anything else, but hear what we had on display before us all. Because now we can sit and watch these things. We had Roger Clemens affirming with passion and great conviction that he has never, ever used steroids or HGH. And then the camera swings over to Mr. McNamee, and he affirms with great conviction that he injected Roger Clemens with performance-enhancing drugs. Somebody is completely lying.
Absolutely.
To and today, we have, on one side of the table, we have Pastor Richard Moore and our caller Herman. And on the other side of the table, we have New York City. Now, let me read this to you. Because New York City is celebrating the one-year anniversary of their great condom giveaway.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Having boasted that they handed out over 36 million condoms since 2007's Valentine's Day, the city fathers, mind you now want to up the ante to give away even more this year, millions and millions more, to force-feed even more condoms to more people. These clever public servants spruced up the prophylactic packaging with brighter, happier wrappers this year, handing them out everywhere from Times Square to City Hall, and in hundreds of free vending machines, and all without the say of taxpayers and all with taxpayer money. Now, apparently, if there's divorce, if there's promiscuity, if there's fornication, if there's adultery, if there's sexually transmitted diseases, if there are abortions, if there is damage, well, whatever. Let's hand out condoms and encourage this promiscuity. That's what you're up against. And I know at least one of your daughters is kind of a world traveler. She's a very fine dancer. She knows what the cosmopolitan scene is all about.
Yes, she does.
So she's hearing this voice. Somewhere she's hearing this voice.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. And the thing you have to hope is that what you trained up your child, that they will not depart from it. You know? I would venture to say that if she has, she wouldn't tell me. You know, there's something about being her pastor and her father that would probably cause her to think twice about telling me if she had gone that way. But, what can you do? What you can do is you can pray for your child. What you can do is you can point out for them why it is better for them.
As I watched Clemens and McNamee yesterday, I was really quite taken back. I mean, you know, I've been around for a while. I don't get taken back much, but I was quite taken back by the fact, the undeniable fact, that I was being lied to by one of those two men. Just outright lied by one of those men. Now, for people who are viewing the culture and they see you and me and Herman sitting on one side of the table and the city fathers of the greatest city in the world sitting on the other side of the table, and one of us is lying to them. How do they know it's not you, me,
well, or because her? Hopefully they understand and can hear the word of God when God's word is spoken to them. Sometimes people
apparently
don't.
That's not working very well.
Well, but it is working. But it works
1 million condoms.
It works one person at a time. You know, we have got to reach out to folks and share with them the truth. You know, there is an argument to be made, and this is going to blow you right out of your chair, okay? There's an argument to be made that there is something socially responsible about making condoms available to people who are otherwise at risk of getting diseases, okay? And that's the argument they're making. What the argument we need to make is that the only reason you're at risk for getting disease is because you're putting yourself at risk. Don't put yourself at risk. The Lord would have you know the joy, if you will, of a God-pleasing sexual relationship. But let me just share something that happened to me. I had a woman come into my office after she got married. And she looked at me and she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, what's the problem? And she said, well, it's a little embarrassing. And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, well, every time my husband and I make love, I wish he was as good as Mark, a man she had lived with before she met her husband. How do I deal with that? How we're supposed to deal with that is if the only person you've ever had sex with is your spouse, it's going to be the best sex of your life. And you're going to learn it together, and you're going to grow together, and you're not going to be carrying with you every other partner that you've had sex with into your marriage bed. We have to make it personal. We have to get people to see it is to their benefit. Because to be honest, a lot of people in our world don't care what God says.
You just threw a BB at a tornado.
I know I did. But you know something? It is one drop of water hitting on a stone after another, after another, after another that creates the Grand Canyon.
I see, you don't have to persuade me.
I know, but I'm just telling you, it's like slow water torture. I just keep plugging away at it. Okay?
Pastor Richard Moore, the author of Slow Water Torture. Let me read to you a different perspective on this question. This is on the website for Channel 5 in New York, television station in New York. And this is the way their reporters put it up on their website from the news department at Channel 5 New York. The city wants New Yorkers to, quote, get some, unquote, this Valentine's Day. The Department of Health and Mental Hygiene unveiled its 2008 Safer Sex Awareness Campaign with new posters, banners, and TV ads featuring a colorful and sexy message. The city also unveiled a new look for the wrapper of its free condom. The slogan is, get some. Street teams from the health department, think about this for a second, street teams from the health department will meet commuters around the city Thursday, or today, to hand out the new NYC condom for Valentine's Day, according to officials. Handout locations include Times Square, Wall Street, and near City Hall. Yves Behar, founder of the San Francisco-based design agency Fuse Project, designed the new condom package and its dispenser, which will be placed in 200 venues around the city. Quote, good design can help bring condoms out of the closet, says Behar. The brand's friendly design and the dispenser's approachable shape convey openness and acceptance. They say condoms are nothing to be embarrassed about. And there you have it from the other side of the table, Pastor, the truth, according to the city fathers of the greatest city in the world, New York City. Your turn.
Okay. I'm back to my original statement. What we need to do is recognize that we need to help people see that if they want to have the best sex of their life, it needs to be with someone they love, they have a spiritual connection with, they are married to, and they have the blessing of God. That's how you have the best sex of your life. Start there. Show them that sex outside of marriage is an abuse and a use of one another. It may be a mutual agreed-upon use and abuse, but so is prostitution. We need to understand that we are, in fact, shoveling against a tide, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done, and it doesn't mean that we can't win. You have to share the truth with people. You have to help them to see that unlike our society that goes for immediate gratification in all things, that we need to be willing to wait in this area so that we might experience the full joy of what God has for us in that blessing.
Well, here's the bottom line, Pastor Moore, as we began this conversation at the top of the hour. New York City wants your daughters. They want them to give up what you have spent your entire time as a father teaching them and counseling them. They want your daughters to throw that away and make themselves available to the promiscuous culture that apparently exists in New York.
I'm not sure New York City wants that.
Well, you know, that's...
What New York City is doing can lead to that. But I think if you were to sit down with the people who set this up, they would not say, we're hoping that all of you who have a moral base of any kind will abandon it. I think they would say to you, what we're hoping is that those who are going to do this anyway will do it in such a way that we do not spread AIDS and gonorrhea and syphilis. It's a great little argument that they have there. Okay?
And I don't believe it. Sorry.
But it's a great little argument that they have there. But the best way to not spread AIDS and syphilis and gonorrhea is to not be promiscuous, to wear a condom.
If the city fathers or those who are in power actually believed what you just said, and I know that's what they say, then they would make argument for abstinence programs as well, but they reject abstinence programs. But before we get to the end of the half hour here, let me tell you, share something with you, because I think you just hit the nail on the head. I find this fascinating. On the Channel 5 website for Channel 5 in New York City, where they have this story published, they also put up a poll where people could respond to this question. The question is, what do you think of the new New York City condom and the ad campaign? And they offer five possible choices. The first choice is, they're colorful and cool. I want to get some. The second is, the city shouldn't give away condoms. It sends the wrong message. The third option, they're okay, but I get my condoms elsewhere. The fourth option is, I don't use condoms. I don't care. And the fifth option is, the condoms don't offend me, but I don't want my taxes paying for them.
Where's the sixth option that says, I disagree with this program?
That's the second option. The city shouldn't give away condoms. It sends the wrong message.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
That's option number two. Five possibilities here. Five choices. The first choice is basically right on condoms. The second
let's do it. Yeah.
The second option is this is wrong and it sends the wrong message. The third affirms condoms but doesn't need them from the city. The fourth option says who needs condoms? And the fifth option is I'm not offended by the program, but I am offended that my taxes are being used.
So which one's winning?
So do you care to select any one of those four, those five options for yourself?
Well, I would select the second one, I suppose.
Well, you would be in good company because of those five choices, that is the most popular choice.
Really?
Almost 39% of the people responding to the poll, which is a total of 1,688 people, picked the option, the city should not give away condoms, it sends the wrong message. Now, that makes me stroke my chin. If the majority, I can't say majority, if the most popular option is don't give away condoms because you're sending the wrong message, then what are the city fathers thinking?
Well, they're probably trying to turn public opinion by action. So, all right, I put the best construction on it and you took it away.
Well, before we get to the bottom of the hour, let me tell you this. The second most popular option is option number five. The condoms don't offend me, but I don't want my taxes paying for them. So that means that 39, 37, about 76%, three out of four people who responded to this poll
think the city shouldn't be doing it.
Are against this program.
Yep.
Three out of four people are against this program, either on moral grounds, ethical grounds, or on practical grounds, civil grounds. Yet their hope is to give away even more condoms today in New York City. What in the world is going on?
Well, maybe the politicians of New York City are, in fact, trying to shape social behavior rather than merely respond to it.
You think?
Yeah, well.
All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour. I see Roy, I see you hanging on the line there. If you want to hold on through the break, we'll come to you just on the other side of the break. We're talking with Pastor Richard Moore today. I always save the toughest stuff, the toughest questions for Pastor Moore, because he can hit any outside corner fastball into right field. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
Today, it means hearts and flowers, greeting cards and boxes of candy. But for the ancient Christians, St. Valentine meant death, a martyr's death. Who was St. Valentine? It's a complicated question. We'll answer it live Thursday on Issues Etc. as we talk about St. Valentine and his day with Dr. Thomas von Hagel.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
Hello, this is Kay Meyer of Family Shield. What are the signs of a mental illness? What happens when a member of your family has a mental illness? How does it impact you and your family? Join us next time as I interview Linda Preuss, a mother of two adult children with mental illnesses. The topic, responding and dealing with mental illness.
Saturday morning at 11 on AM 850 KFUO.
Evolutionary scientists reject one of their own. Find out about it next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Many scientists have rejected the idea that man has a spirit, that we are more than simply material organisms. After all, they reason, man evolved, but a non-material thing like a spirit cannot evolve. The 19th century promoters of evolution admitted that they had devised the idea of naturalistic evolution to get rid of the idea of a non-material spiritual dimension. And that's why it's noteworthy that in 1983, Nobel Prize-winning scientist George Wald announced to the scientific community that he had found evidence of a non-material aspect to life. Wald called this non-material part of life consciousness and concluded that our consciousness exists outside of space and time. Evolutionary scientists quickly treated Wald as a heretic. Suddenly, evolutionists attacked one of their own with the same ferocity that they had previously reserved for creationists. They offered no argument against Dr. Wald's science. They simply refused to even look at his evidence because they just knew that he had the wrong conclusion. The lesson we learn from this is that evolution is a faith that competes with Christianity. Another lesson is that there is real scientific evidence that supports the Christian view of life and reality.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
Are you responsible for a church service presentation? Lacefield Music is presenting multimedia worship workshops this month to demonstrate how new technologies in piano, keyboards, and organs can be incorporated into worship presentations. And the next workshop is Tuesday, February 19th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. at Lacefield Music in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Reservations can be made at the Fairview Heights store or by calling the Missouri number 314-775-8902. These worship workshop seminars will be of interest to lay people, choir and music directors, and clergy members. There have been many advances in technology that you may wish to know about. You can attend the multimedia workshop at Lacefield Music in Fairview Heights on February 19th. To make a reservation, call 314-775-8902.
You're listening to the Bible Study. It's an Ask the Pastor Hour, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Those are the telephone numbers. We're talking about Valentine's Day in the context of the cultural sexuality that is being foisted upon us and upon our children. It's kind of a tacky way to take up Valentine's Day, but you know, life is tacky, I guess. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Richard Moore is with us from St. Martin's Lutheran Church in
Winona,
Minnesota. I got so many Minnesota guys now, I get you guys confused. Let's take a call from Roy. Hi, Roy. Thanks for holding on through the break. You're on the Bible Study.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Pastor Moore.
Good morning.
I just got to think and listen to this conversation. Why don't someone print about 35 or 40 million copies of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's pretty short.
We can't get the city fathers to do that, Roy.
And hand that right out with that package of condoms, and then they can find out what love really is.
I think it would need to come with a commentary, because they'd miss it.
Yeah, I don't think they would go for that, but why not?
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
We'll send you to New York. You can make that.
You can stand on the street corner and hand them out.
Thank you, Roy. You know, there's probably somebody doing something like that already.
Well, there are people. I have lived in New York City, and there are many groups that go out and are evangelizing on the street corners and on the streets of New York on a regular basis, handing out information on the Word of God and sharing with people the truth that you don't really want to be involved in everything that's available.
Well, there are two ways. This will be my final point. there are two ways to view this. We can view it from sort of a detached way, looking at it in general. In a culture where in the 50s, Hugh Hefner was a pornographer. Now here in the new millennium, he's a cultural hero, a cultural icon. And Hollywood types and political types consider it to be something of a badge of honor to be able to say that they've been up to the Playboy Mansion to frolic with the bunnies. That's how much this has changed. And there is a side of folks, maybe even Christian folks, that says, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. Yeah, it's bad, but it is what it is. And then they go on and do what they do. But then there is the specific application. When you start talking about your daughters, your sons, my sons, your wife,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, it takes on a different kind of a context.
Sure it does.
Do we really want a culture where if your wife is on a business trip, that the culture is going to do everything it can to try to capture her for sex while she's, or the man too, either way? Is that what we want? And I think most folks would say no. Apparently, three-fourths of the folks who responded to this survey are saying no. That's what I see in it. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, one of the things that I find encouraging of this whole thing, oddly enough, is that the people of New York have rejected what is actually being paid for by the city of New York.
We're talking about a survey of 1,600 people, so I guess we have to be careful extrapolating out on the people of New York. But
I think you'd be surprised at how many of the people of New York are more like the people you and I know. When I lived in New York, I did not know a whole bunch of people who were out there trying to ruin the morals of society. I knew a whole bunch of people who were just as appalled at what they saw around them as you and I are, or anyone else who might be listening to this and having a problem with it.
Do we really want to get to that point where our 14-year-old daughter comes home after school and comes through the door with a bright smile on her face, and we say, well, where have you been, honey? And she goes, having sex with Billy. Oh, that's nice. Is that really where we want to be?
No, I'm sure that isn't really where we want to go.
I don't think so.
No.
But that's where the city fathers of New York are trying to take us.
That's what it appears. Yeah.
Let's take this call from Cindy. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Pastor Moore.
Hello, Cindy. How are you doing?
Pretty well, thank
Good.
You. Good. I'm the lady that came into your office. I was wondering, did you possibly take her through confession and absolution after?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. But first we had to get through the notion of,
okay,
you know, let's lay this on the line. She was looking for a technique, or how do I teach him, or what should you, would you suggest, or how does one live with this?
Okay.
The first thing you have to do in
Pastors
that situation.
Pastors have to do that?
No. The first thing you have to do in that
You're
situation
underpaid.
Is show them that what their problem here is first sin.
Okay. I was married when I was very, very young, but and before I was married, young girls always think they're in love all the time.
Oh yeah.
And but I went to my mother at one time, and one of the things that my mother said to me was, and it was like putting your head inside a bell and then letting them bong the bong, you know.
Uh-huh.
She said, the best thing that you can give to your husband as a wedding present is you.
Yep.
And that was like, I mean, that was an eye opener.
Cindy, you're so old fashioned.
You know what?
Come on, get with it. Get hip here.
It was. I knew exactly what she meant, and there was all kinds of things in my family about, like, don't do anything to embarrass us. You know,
yeah.
The law came down pretty hard, but and I knew exactly what my mother meant. But I knew that I had to deal with the consequences of my action and the heartache. I began praying for a husband when I was about 13 years old, and I just asked the Lord to, you know, to give me a husband and I, and somebody that was would love me. And I didn't know that I'd get one that loved. I mean, that Jesus picked. I mean, God picked that my husband out for me, and my husband was a Christian. And I mean, it's only been 43 years.
Hey, I understand.
So I was blessed, very blessed.
Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Pastor Moore, did I understand you to say that you had a woman come to you in your office, and you said she was embarrassed to discuss, she was looking for help on sexual technique? Is that what
she was
saying?
Looking for help as to how she loved her husband dearly, but he wasn't good in bed. And every time she was with him, she remembered this other guy, and she was, what do I do about this? How do I fix this?
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm not sure that the pastor is the one you want to go see in that circumstance. Or,
well, actually, it's
wrong?
Exactly who she needed to go see, because what she needed to hear was that her problem was a result of her previous sinful life, and that there needed to be confession and forgiveness and a turning to the Lord for help.
You guys don't make enough money. It's hard for me to imagine picturing you or any of the many pastors that I know trying to deal with that. That seems to me to be...
Well, if you do marital counseling and they're having problems in their marriage, and that's the source of the problems in their marriage, you're going to hear about it.
I guess so. Now, that's how naive I am, I guess. 505-780-1800-730-2727. Betty, you're up next in the Bible study.
Yes, the pastor mentioned that people, so many people are appalled by what's going on, but I don't think that's true. I think too many people, including Christians, are supporting this type of entertainment. And they're not, you know, when I was young, it would have been unthinkable for a pastor or anyone to suggest to see an R-rated movie. You don't find that today. I mean, our pastor would have quoted things like flee fornication. But everywhere, Christians are watching movies, TV, and listening to music that promotes fornication. And I know I'm wrong on this, but I know the law doesn't change anyone. But in Luther's Catechism, he says that if people are unrepentant... He says that the gospel needs to be preached to everyone, especially to people who are deeply troubled over their sin. And then he goes on and says the law needs to be preached to everyone, especially to people who are unrepentant.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, but it seems to me that all we hear is, well, don't worry about it, you know, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And people are not concerned about their sin. There's no shame anymore.
All right, thanks for the call. Pastor Moore?
Well, she has a good point. We are called by the Lord to preach the gospel, and the gospel is what changes hearts. But before one can preach forgiveness, the person needs to understand or acknowledge that they need it. And we need also to preach the law, to make sure that people, you know, the sweetness of the gospel comes only after the sting of the law. It doesn't make any sense. Otherwise, you are casting pearls before swine.
Well, in this section that I just read to you before off the Channel 5 website in New York, and that's not Channel 5 St. Louis, Channel 5 in New York, according to Yves Behar, who is founder of the San Francisco-based design agency, and, you know, I don't know if it's fair or unfair to have one eyebrow go up when we hear San Francisco way in here. But the quote is, good design can help bring condoms out of the closet. The brand's friendly design and the dispenser's approachable shape convey openness and acceptance. They say condoms are nothing to be embarrassed about. This is all rhetoric designed to work against a sense of shame that Betty was lamenting that we've lost.
Right.
And you say what? You say, no, you should be ashamed. Shame on you. Is that what you say?
No, what I say is God's word speaks to us, and when we ignore God's word, we are bringing ourselves under the judgment of the Lord. And this is an area in our lives where we have gone completely amok. We have turned away from the purposes of our sexuality, from the blessings of our sexuality. We have made it so casual in our society that it no longer means anything. It's not the expression of our greatest love and deepest emotions. It's, to put it crassly, I'm horny.
That's the first time that's ever been said on a Bible study.
Well, but you know, every child who's 17 has been there. But it doesn't mean you necessarily need to act on it.
Well, apparently it does. There was a story in the news here a few weeks back. I'm doing this from memory now, so I hope I have the details right. It was a middle school up in the great state of Maine. And the middle school was going to make condoms available to the middle schoolers. Now, I don't know how old you are in middle school. It's not much more than about 12 or 13.
That's 7th and 8th grade. Yeah.
And they were going to do that, Pastor Moore, if your daughters had happened to have been in that middle school without your knowledge. It's none of your business if your daughter goes to get condoms.
Could someone make that make sense to me? If my daughter steals from the local store a 50-cent candy bar, that's not only my business, they hold me accountable for it. But if she wants to go out and have sex, somebody's going to provide her with a room and a condom. Someone make that make sense to me.
Nobody ever seems to care whether it makes sense. It doesn't need an explanation or a rationale. It's just, we're going to do it. I think you just, I can't bring myself to use the H word here on the Bible study, but I think you just explained it. When you're 17...
Right.
You don't need a rationale. You just know what you know.
Right, but we are the adults, and the adults are not supposed to be making that easier for the kids. The adults are not supposed to be saying, whatever you want to do, honey, it's fine. The adults are supposed to be saying, hey, when you do this, it has a lasting effect on the rest of your life. Scripture has this really neat passage. It says, when you have united with a prostitute, you have become one with her. In the eyes of the Lord, when you have had sexual intercourse with someone, you have become one with them. You are, in fact, saying to the Lord, this person I now marry. Is that really what you want your 13-year-old doing?
You just want to return us back to the... You just want to take us back to the Stone Age. You're a prude. You're a Victorian. You just don't want anybody to have any fun. And,
now,
you just
Chuck,
want people to
you
be...
know me well enough to know that you would have a hard time selling that.
Yeah, you're right. You're the one guy that I can't probably get that past, can't sneak the sun past the rooster on that one. But that's what they're going to say. And, you know, as you have, I think, pointed out here with that comment, that's irrational. Pastor Moore is a fun-loving guy. And so that's not going to play. But it won't matter whether it plays. Because that's what's going to be said.
I know.
And then they're going to dust off their hands after having condemned you for all of these things. And for them, that's enough. And then they're going to go off and give 36 million condoms away today in New York City.
And that's right. They are going to do that today in New York City. But we are going to be saying, sharing, proclaiming, praying, and recognizing that what they're doing is not, in fact, in the best interest of the society as a society, nor is it in agreement with God's will. And what we have to proclaim and share is the truth. You know, one voice in the wilderness saying the truth ultimately wins.
The stories that I saw on this, and I didn't do a lot of research on this, just what I could find, are all about the city fathers and the agency that has produced this advertising campaign and all of these things, and there is, at least in the coverage that I saw, there is no opposition voice. There is no paragraph that says something like, Pastor Richard Moore of St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Minnesota decried this project and said that it was immoral. And there's nothing like that.
Well, you know why there's nothing like that? It's not that there aren't people decrying it. It's that the media who is covering it is in agreement. And the best way to silence those who disagree with you is to merely ignore them.
Which is why, maybe even against my instincts, I decided to talk about this today with you. Because if we don't talk about it,
no one will.
On the Bible study, then I'm not sure that anybody is going to state opposition to it. What would you say, Pastor Moore, to somebody who heads for lunch here as soon as we're done with our Ask the Pastor Hour, muttering to him or herself, thanks a lot, Chuck. Thanks a lot, Pastor Moore. You know, I left the house today with a spring in my step because it was Valentine's Day and it's a warm, fuzzy, chocolate, flower hearts kind of a day, and all you did was tacky it up. Thanks a lot.
What would I say?
What would you say?
You're welcome. Because what you have to understand is we are to be the salt and light of the world. You are not the salt and the light by keeping inside a box or by not coming out and telling people what God's Word says. I would think that those who had a spring in their step and joy in their heart about it being Valentine's Day would still have a spring in their step and joy in their heart about it being Valentine's Day, because they're planning to go home to their wife and their husband, and they are going to celebrate the fact that they in fact have that blessing that God has given them in a Christian spouse.
Pastor Moore, we have just about 5 minutes left here. I'd like for you to address this question. You and I think, are in agreement that condom giveaways in New York City are a bad move. It's a bad civil move. In the civil kingdom, it's a bad move from a churchman's perspective or a believer's perspective. Because of all the things we listed before, abortions, a sexually transmitted disease, destroyed relationships, all those negative outcomes that come along with a promiscuous lifestyle. Having said that, I want to set that aside for a moment, and I want you to talk about why promiscuity is bad from a spiritual standpoint for people who are married not just to husbands and wives, but people who call themselves Christians who are, can I say, married to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ?
Uh-huh.
We are the bride of Christ. And how promiscuity, violating the sixth commandment, affects that context.
When we violate the sixth commandment, when we are saying to the Lord that what you have told us and the example that you have given us of what it means to be in fellowship with you, which is in fact marriage, we do not honor that. It breaks our relationship not only with our spouse or future spouse, it breaks our relationship with the Lord. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel turned away from the Lord, he referred to it as adultery. Idolatry and adultery are interchangeable in the eyes of the Lord. When we follow after or chase after other gods, we are being unfaithful, as an adulterer is unfaithful. When we are an adulterer, we are showing an unfaithfulness to our confession and to our Lord that affects all of our relationship with him and all aspects of our lives. People want to say, and thank you, former President Clinton, it's just sex. No, it isn't just sex. Because it's not just a physical thing. It is a spiritual thing. It is an emotional thing. It affects who we are and how we think and act and move and our very being, especially our relationship to God. God calls on us to be faithful to Him. He also calls on us to be faithful to one another. We are not particularly good. How can one be faithful to God when you can't be faithful to a person who is standing beside you?
I'm thinking that, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, and if you have, I'm not asking you to tell us about it, but I'm thinking it must be a most heartrending experience when you have an underage girl, 14, 15 years old, who is a mess because she has hearkened to the word of the world and now is pregnant and now is facing no end of complication and trouble. And there she sits before the pastor with tears streaming down her face because her life has been so significantly changed. It must happen thousands and thousands of times. As serious and as sad as that moment is spiritual adultery or spiritual immorality along these lines more serious?
Our spiritual lives are always more serious than our physical lives. It is always more serious to have turned away from the Lord. When we have done something that is reprehensible, the forgiveness of Christ is still there. The grace of God is still available to us. When we reject Him, then we are no longer in that grace. We are no longer walking by faith. So as bad as those situations are, and though most people would think those situations are the worst of all situations, the truth of the matter is our apostasy to God, our failure to be faithful to the Lord, has a far more reaching and a far more devastating effect on our lives. When we have fallen into sin, we can be restored and forgiven. We can be uplifted and helped. We can be surrounded by the community of faith and seen through this trial, whether it is on motherhood or AIDS or whatever it might be as a result of physical promiscuity. When we have so separated ourselves from God that when someone says, "Are you a Christian?" the response is, "I used to be," without thinking, then you are in much greater danger.
Pastor Moore, thank you for your expertise and your guidance on this most difficult subject. I appreciate it.
You are welcome.
Pastor Richard Moore, St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota, here on our Bible study program. We move into Transfiguration time, Matthew 17 with Pastor Bruce Osborne on the phone tomorrow. Pastor Kevin Parviz will be here for Ask the Pastor. Thanks for listening.
You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.